I'm going to talk today about avoiding snake bite. Is that what I titled it in your handout? Okay. Avoiding snake bite. And subtitle that's not on your thing was the original title that came to me, but I decided it's too long. But dealing with the demons of offense and slander. I want to talk about that today. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount series that I began last week as well. But actually, it's works out perfectly. This last week, God gave my wife a dream, a prophetic dream. In the dream, he showed her a plan of the enemy that he wants to use to attack our church. How many of you would like to know what that is? So we can thwart it, right? And what he did is he showed her in the dream there were two evil spirits that were trying to attack the church, and they were serpents in the dream. And there were a few people who were just like handling them and just kind of like they were their pets or something. But they were super dangerous. They had like 3 to 4 inch fangs, extremely venomous, and they were super aggressive in attacking people and wanting to bite them. And she knew in the dream, and nobody was really, including us, me and Autumn, weren't really taking them very seriously until we saw how aggressive we were. And then we were like, whoa, we got to get these things killed and out of here. And it was just made clear in the dream that those dreams were offense. And I'm adding slander in there. That's my guess on the other one, is offense and slander. And so here's the deal. How many of you know, like, dealing with offense, every human being that's ever lived deals with offense. Isn't that true? I mean, this is just part of living in this age. I deal with it, and I have to deal with it somewhat regularly. You know, something happens. You know, you deal with it in one situation, and then something else happens, and you have to deal with it again and again and again. And we live in victory over it, but we have to be intentional about living in victory over it. Otherwise, it destroys our lives. It's really true. And slander is the same thing. We've all done it. We've all slandered. Slandered is when you're sharing negative information about a person that defames their character, that accuses them of, you know, bad character, a wrong motive, a bad action, and you're just spreading the bad report about them by sharing it with other people. That's what slander is. So I'm going to talk today about how to deal with these things. And so Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to begin there in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment." Okay, so he's quoting the Old Testament there. And Old Testament said, if you kill somebody, like physically kill somebody, you're going to be judged. And actually the judgment was you're going to be killed, right? If you kill somebody, murder, you're going to be death penalty. That was the Old Testament. And Jesus is quoting that. Then he says in verse 22, "But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse or slander someone, you are in danger of," listen to that, "the fires of hell." How many of you know Jesus doesn't exaggerate? He says, so this is his advice. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, it's like, it's so serious. Leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. And then he gives this little, kind of a little parable here. And he says, when you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. And what he means is, deal with this thing quickly. The longer you wait, the worse the consequences get and the harder it is to deal with. Okay? Then he says, otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. So he starts off here, and he quotes the law, the Old Testament law. He says, if you murder, if you kill someone, you will be judged, which is killed in the Old Testament, death penalty. But then he goes like this, and he deals not only with the action of murder, but he deals with the root of it, which is the spirit of murder. And the spirit of murder, how many of you know, we don't just wake up in the morning and decide to kill somebody. Most people don't, okay? Unless you're like highly demonized. There are those people out there. But most people, we don't wake up and just decide to kill somebody. But what happens is it begins with an offense in the heart toward a person. And what happens is that offense, if it's not dealt with, like repented of, it grows and it turns into bitterness. And it gets deeper and it gets stronger until the point where literally you feel so much hatred in your heart toward that person that it eventually manifests in the action of murder when it's fully matured. You guys with me? Offense is like a seed that the devil sows in our hearts. If you leave it there, it will grow. The longer it grows, the deeper the roots go and the harder it is to get out. If you let it come to fruition, eventually the fruit that will come from that seed is murder. That's why Jesus says, it starts off, he says, as anger. It's unrighteous anger in the heart. It's like you're, it can be, I don't like that person for whatever reason, because of their personality, because of something they did to you, because of their race. Could be racism, could be, you know, whatever form the hatred takes, it starts as that. But notice the second stage is that it escalates into words. It escalates into angry words. He says, if you curse someone, you know, the cursing comes out of a thought process that you've allowed to germinate within you. And out of that comes the devil's words. You guys with me? And what is the devil? He is the accuser of the brethren. And so what he'll do is he'll come and he'll accuse somebody to you in your own mind. He'll highlight their bad points and exaggerate them in your mind, and he'll hide their good points and minimize them. That's every time you are under the influence of snakebite. When you think about somebody and all you can think is their bad points, and it's just like in your face, everything that's wrong about them, or one thing that's really bad about them, and you can't really even see the good parts about them anymore. Yet you're under the influence of snakebite, and you should never speak when you're thinking like that, because his words will come out of your mouth and bring destruction. And I'm gonna teach you how to deal with that today, because all of us deal with that. You know, this isn't just you. Everybody in this room deals with that still. The most righteous among us has to deal with this, because the devil is bad. And he tempts not just sinners, he tempts righteous people to try to entice us into sin. You guys with me? And we have to learn how to resist the devil. So Jesus says right here, once you start speaking the words, the consequences escalate. He says at first, you know, if you're angry with somebody, you're subject to judgment. And then he says, if you curse someone, now it's escalated into words, you're in danger of the fires of hell. The consequences escalate when we act out the offense that's in our hearts and we start verbalizing it. The consequences and the destruction multiplies. Okay? So I want to, you know, offense is like a deadly, venomous snake bite. How many of you know if you get bit by a very venomous snake, let's say you got a black mamba in here, and you get bit by it, how many of you know you want to get to a hospital that has anti-venom ASAP? Amen? You're like, I'm going right now. I'm not going to get lunch on the way there. Because, you know, I say, because what happens is that wherever you get bit on the hand, it just swells and swells. And every second you wait, the venom is still spreading. It's because it's aggressive. Venom doesn't just stay neutral. It spreads, and it's working its way toward vital organs. And you've got a certain amount of time to get the anti-venom in your system. It's to so you can at least minimize the damage that's done to your body. And when the devil comes, and I call it snake bite, and you get bitten with bitterness, you get smitten with offense towards somebody and you allow it to stay, the poison is in your system. The poison is in your system, and you've got to get it out as fast as possible. And I'm going to tell you how to do that here, but you do not want to wait and to delay, which is why Jesus says, so you have the in your system, and then you curse somebody. You speak harsh words towards somebody out of a wrong spirit. And then he says, and then you remember you're offering your gift at the altar. Isn't that interesting? You're at the altar bringing your gift to the Lord. I love you, God. And then suddenly you remember that somebody's mad at you. Now, in context, it's the reason they're mad at you is because of the harsh words that you just spoke to them in the verse before. You guys with me? Like you just went and you just went off on your wife. Or you went off on your husband. You went off on one of your kids. You went off on your brother or your sister, you know, or somebody. You just slandered them. And then you come and want to worship the Lord. You know, James says, can praise and cursing come out of the same mouth? Can salt water and fresh water come out of the same spring? And so what James is saying right here, he's like, you come and you say, I love you, God. And then you speak harsh words toward those who are made in his image. And what Jesus is saying here is he's like, man, you just told them off. You just released harsh words to them. And now you want to come offer a gift. What he says is stop praying. Go back to the person you spoke the harsh words to, right? And you repent. You humble yourself. You say, I was wrong. I should not have done that. Will you forgive me? And then you reconcile. And then come and worship and offer your gift. It'll be accepted. You guys with me? You know, I remember so distinctly, I remember early in my marriage, Autumn and I got in some kind of argument about something. I spoke harshly to her. I don't remember what I said, but I knew I was wrong. And I probably raised my voice. I spoke harshly to her. And then it was my time to go pray. So I went into my office and I'm trying to worship. And God was just like, having none of it. Because that was his daughter. That was his daughter. I just did that in front of him too. And I tried to worship for a little while, and then he just made it really clear to me. He's like, yeah, we're not doing anything until you go make that right. And so I humbled myself. God, help me, forgive me. And then I went to her, and I humbled myself. I said, will you please forgive me? I spoke harshly to you. I was wrong. Now listen, when you do this, here's how you don't do it. I'm so sorry I did speak harshly to you, but you did provoke me. And then, you know, you said this, and that was wrong, and it made me mad. It really still makes me mad. And to be honest, and then you just do it again. Have you ever done that before? And you just, you're like, I'm sorry, and then you just release the venom part two on them. It's like, they're like, please, don't apologize. You know, take the accusation out of your apology. You just come, and you're accepting responsibility for your part. That's all I'm talking about right now. You say, I sinned, will you forgive me? She forgave me. And, you know, we kissed and made up, which is the fun part. I went right back into my office, and I had a wonderful time with the Lord. And Jesus here, he's saying, hey, if you've spoken harshly to somebody, it's your responsibility. You take the initiative to go to them. Go to them, the person you spoke the harsh words to. Now, let me give you two applications of that. If I speak harshly to Chad, I need to go and say, will you forgive me for speaking that to you? And I make it up to him. You guys with me? But let's say this. Let's say I go to Augie. Chad's nowhere around, but I'm ticked off at Chad. And I speak harsh words against Chad to Augie. Chad has no idea that I even said this. And then the Holy Spirit, I'm offering my gift, and he's like, go make it right. I don't go to Chad and say, dude, I just like totally slandered you to Augie. Will you please forgive me? Because then he's feeling like, thanks, yeah, okay. Now I have to work through this offense towards you. You guys with me? No, what I do, I go to the person I actually spoke to. And I say, Augie, I spoke harsh words against Chad. I was completely in sin. I was wrong to do that. And will you forgive me for slandering him to you and for any kind of like bad picture I put in your mind about Chad? And just please disregard it. Chad's an awesome guy. He loves the Lord. On and on and on. You guys with me? Because I'm trying to heal the wound that I just had created. Okay, let me give you the four stages of snake bite. Stage number one, an offense is suggested by a demon to you. The offense is suggested. You haven't sinned at this point. You haven't sinned yet. The devil comes and he highlights something that ticks you off, something that just irritates you about a person. I wish they would do this differently or da, 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 da. And you haven't sinned yet. The enemy's just tempting you and he's enticing you to agree with him in his accusation and his harsh judgment. Number two, stage two, the offense is embraced and it's harbored by the person and it turning into bitterness. Now you've sinned. Stage two is where sin happens. It's where you embrace the wrong thought, the wrong attitude, and the harsh judgment of that person. At that point, you've partnered with that devil. This is when the poison starts destroying you internally and relationally. The poison's in now because you've embraced it. And it starts destroying you internally and relationally. Stage two. Stage three. Harsh words are spoken from a bitter spirit. So first, it's suggested by demons. You've not sinned. Then you embrace it and you harbor, you entertain those thoughts. You think about, you dwell upon, you meditate upon those thoughts over and over again. And you agree with them. And it's that seed is being planted within your soul and the poison is spreading already. Okay? But then stage three is it escalates to the point where you start speaking it either to the person in harsh words or you just start gossiping and slandering the person to everybody else because you won't say it to them, but you talk about them. You talk about your boss. You talk about your wife out there in the community. You talk about your husband, whoever it is. And once it starts spilling into words, you are in stage three. You're already in stage three. It's in stage three when you start speaking the words from a bitter spirit. It's in stage three that the poison that started in the devil and now it's in you, when you speak it out, what you do is you pass it on and you impart it into those you talk to. Have you ever had this, like you're not mad at somebody and then they come up and they just rail on you? And all of a sudden, you're like, you feel this rage rising up within you, like this unjust accusation screaming at me and raw, and you just roar right back at them. I've done this. You know what happened? You were walking along just having a good day. They were venomized and they came and they injected it into you and you received it. And when you acted on it and gave it back, now the root system's in you as well. This is one of the devil's, gossip and slander is one of the devil's greatest weapons that to destroy families, to destroy churches, to destroy works and moves of God. And people, we cooperate with this all the time. You know, here's a common line of thinking in the world. They say this, you know, sometimes you're just so angry, you just got to let it out and then you'll feel better, right? You just got to let it out. I mean, I just building up, like, I'm just going to erupt. There, I got that out of my system. Now I feel better. That's totally a lie. When you erupt, you didn't get it out of your system. You just tripled it in your system. That's what happened. That's why Proverbs 29:11 says this. Listen to this. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Everybody say, I can keep myself under control. Everybody say, I don't have to speak angry words. Listen, when you feel that intense emotion of anger and rage, be silent. Just say nothing. This is a good saying. If you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. That's true. It's not going to make you feel better. What it will do is when you vent, you'll multiply it in yourself. You'll get even more angry. Not only that, you'll multiply it into other people. You know, maybe you've seen this with a person. It's like you erupt at them and then they erupt back and now you're even more mad. But then you erupt back and now they're more mad and it just goes on and on and on. You guys with me? I mean, if you're married, you've probably experienced this. Yeah, somebody has to be the big boy. And just be silent and forgive them. Bless your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And then it releases grace to you. You're protected. They may have erupted at you, but the poison didn't get, the seed didn't set in because you didn't receive it. Proverbs 15:1, listen to this. A harsh word stirs up anger, but a gentle word turns away wrath. And then stage four is hateful actions are done in anger and out of a spirit of retaliation. Listen, with a deceptive sense of justice. You know, so the devil is such a liar. And pride gets mixed in with this. And he'll say, that person did this, this, and this. And you're like, that's wrong. That is so wrong. I don't deserve that. I'm better than that. You know, he'll talk to you. He'll feed your mind with arguments all day long to fuel the bitterness in your spirit. And you're just like, oh, I can't believe that. And then you get this sense of justice. Like, you know what? This person needs to be put in their place. This needs to be stopped. They're not going to do this to me anymore. And then you speak harsh words or you do something harsh against them to undercut them or to hurt them in some way. It may be physical or it may hurting them in another way that you have the ability to do. I'll give you a real yet silly example of how I sinned in this way recently. Everybody's listening, right? I was like, and I'm just telling you this. This is real, though. So I was upset at my wife, and I was upset at her. And we were playing a game, like a board game. We play games all the time in our house. And I remember we were playing this game, and because I was upset with her about something, and I had not dealt with it quickly. Okay, so I'd allowed it to fester for, I don't know, a few days or something. And we're playing this game. Of course, I wasn't going to yell at her. I wasn't going to do all this kind of stuff. But I'm thinking, like, I don't want to just beat her in this game. I want to dominate this game. I want to crush her in this board game. And I remember just doing that. And I was doing it literally. What was fueling it, because I was angry about something. And so, it's childish. It is a silly little thing to do. I'm glad that was the extent of what happened. And actually, I had to repent afterward because I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And it was great. And I was like, you know what? I'm so sorry. Then I had to do the go and be reconciled thing. I'm like, you know, I probably lost. I don't even think I won. I think she still probably won. But I was trying to really hurt her in that game and make her do awful more than usual. And so I was like, I don't know if this makes any sense to you. You know, it's like you can win and then you could spike the ball in your opponent's face. You guys with me? Is that kind of deal in the game? And so I was like, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? And I realized I was acting out of that. That's what I was in stage four. I was acting out of that spirit now. And it was the devil. And listen, it's a funny, silly example to you. But in our home, for those couple days, it was robbing us of love in our home. There was this tension between us because I had let it fester in my heart for a couple days. Are you guys with me? Is this hitting home at all to anybody else? Or is confession at least as good for my soul? Go to Genesis. Chapter 4. Now Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve. She became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. Here's the verse. This made Cain very angry. Cain's in stage one right here. An offense set in. He's like, hey, you know, God, why did you accept his offering, but you didn't accept mine? And envy sets in, jealousy sets in. It's an offense. Envy and jealousy is just a form of offense. He's been snake bitten. And he bought in, and he was in stage two because he embraced and harbored it, and he allowed that anger to stew inside of him. And he was sulking, and actually, it says, and he looked dejected. Right? You guys ever been there before? You get upset at somebody, and you're just walking around, and that joyful spirit that you usually have, you're just walking around just, why? Because you're just meditating on the offense, and you're just, it feels heavy. And sometimes when that's that spirit of anger, there's actually an energy that you can feel on the inside, right? It's called rage. There's an energy that you feel, and sometimes it's like, I'm so mad, I'm not letting this go this time. And that's where Cain is right now. He's walking around dejected, and then God attempts to intervene and cure and heal the snake bite before it gets to stage four. And he breaks in and he says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. That's a good question to ask yourself when you're under the influence of this thing and you're feeling angry. It's like, why am I angry? Why am I angry? I remember one time when we first moved to Huron, there's so much demonic attack going on in our family. We were completely unprepared for it. And because we were planting the church in Huron. And we were being blasted by the devil. I mean, for a while before we figured out what was going on and finally got, started getting on top of it. But one of the ways he attacked us is we had a couple months where Anna and I were just bickering. Like almost continually, it felt like. Which is not usual for us. We've always had an awesome marriage. We really love each other. We've always been best friends. To this day, we're still best friends. Like the best thing that can happen would be to go on a date and just go and talk. We love going on long road trips where we can just talk for hours at a time uninterrupted. I mean, it's still that way with us. But in this season, we were just bickering all the time over things. And I remember distinctly, it was a Sunday afternoon, and I was like so angry. I was walking around like Cain, dejected, you know. I was just angry at her. And I was like, I just wanted to say something and pick a fight, you know. And then I thought, why am I angry at her? And I could not think of one logical reason that I should be mad at her. I just was. And all of a sudden, the light bulb goes off in my mind. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is a demon. And I have been eating that bait hook, and the hook is in me, and he's been pulling me around, laughing at me while he manipulates my emotions to try and hurt my wife, and vice versa. She'd been doing the same thing toward me. And I was like, I go to her, I'm like, man, this is what God just showed me. I am so sorry. I have totally been given into this thing. And she's like, me too. And we prayed together, we repented, and then we took all our ammo instead of using it on each other. We both put the bullseye on the demon and pulled the trigger. We said, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over this spirit of offense and slander. We command you to leave our home. We forbid you from energizing wrong thoughts, wrong accusations, wrong attitudes, wrong emotions toward one another. We command you to go now in Jesus' name. And from that point on, we got victory. And God's trying to intervene with Cain. He says, hey, why are you so angry? Because what he's trying to see, you know, he would probably say this, you know, well, because my brother's offering was accepted. I think God would help him see. So you're mad at your brother because he's the kind of guy that brings offerings to God that are pleasing to God. That's why you're mad. So your problem is not your brother. Your problem is you. So many times the devil comes, it's like, my problem is this person, my problem is this person. And you know what? Maybe they've legitimately done things, but the problem, the reason you're dejected, the reason you're stewing around and you don't have your joy anymore, and you don't have the love of God that you're enjoying, feeling his presence anymore, it's no person can put that upon you. The problem is because you've embraced an offense. That's the problem. Are you with me? Okay. And so he says, listen to this. This is intense. He says, why do you look so dejected? And then he says, you will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, Listen to this. Sin is crouching at the door. It's like an animal. Eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. God's telling him, there is a beast behind that emotion that you've agreed with. It's a demon. You're thinking, oh, it's just your brother's just whatever, a goody two-shoes. You're thinking it's just a little emotion thing. No, there's a demon behind this thing that you've given into. You think you can control it and that you got it, but listen, it wants to control you. And he says, but you have the ability to conquer it and master it right now. You don't have to be controlled by it if you'll repent. But you know what? He didn't listen. He didn't repent. And so here's what happens next. Verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Stage 4. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel? I don't know, Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian? You see this, like, the attitude he has toward God? He's this brazen, brash, arrogant attitude toward God. He's like, am I my brother's keeper? Like, who are you to talk to me? God could be like, I am God. I know everything that you just did. But see, when we get bitten by snake bite and we allow ourselves to be consumed with offense, it even affects our attitude toward the Lord. And it says this, but the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Listen to this. Now you are cursed. And banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, listen to this. You will be a homeless wanderer. This is the consequence of yielding a lifestyle, of yielding to bitterness, it's isolation. I've seen it over and over again in so many different people. See, because this becomes a life pattern. You are going to develop, you're going to be attacked with offense. That's just, you're living in this world, that's going to happen. You are going to develop a pattern of how you respond to it. You'll respond to it by yielding to it. And it'd just be a pattern. Every time it comes, you'll just do the same thing over and over to get worse and worse. Or you'll develop a pattern of warring against it, renouncing it, repenting of it, not agreeing with it. You guys with me? And you'll stay sweet. But listen, the long-term consequence of a life of yielding to bitterness, isolation. You'll be lonely. I've seen this over and over again with people who they have this jaded, cynical heart about people in general. They're just like, you can't trust people. People are fickle. There's nobody in this. Everybody's hurt me. Everybody's this. It's just like the offense. You can talk to them. Honestly, you've met these people. There's people I talk to the first time I meet them within minutes. They're just spewing off. Their bitterness is just flying out of their mouth. I'm like, wow, that's a mature tree inside of you. And they're unable to have any healthy long-term relationships. Because they have this cynical, jaded attitude like, oh, everybody's bad. Everybody's out to get me. You can't trust anybody. On and on and on and on. And so they don't. And they don't get to enjoy any healthy relationships that are healthy, long-term, deep friendships. Or they become fearful of hurt or rejection, and so they can't connect with people anymore. And it all goes back to they embrace the offense, and they let it mature. And now they are cursed, and they're wanderers. Living in isolation, longing for love, but unable to really receive it, not only from people, but even from God. I remember one time I was in the library right across the street. This is years ago. And I met this elderly man. I went up to pray for him. I never met him before, ever. It's the first time. I was like, hey, can I pray for you? And I mean, right away, he just starts, I'm a stranger to him. He just starts going off. He's like, I hate my dad. my dad did this. Now, this is an elderly man I'm talking to. His dad died a long time ago. But he's like, I hate my dad so much. He's like, I can't even sleep at night. He's like, literally, he's like, I wake up, I have nightmares and dreams about my dad and what he did to me. I'm like, dude, let it go, man. Like, you're not hurting your dad. I told him, I'm like, dude, you need to forgive your dad and set yourself free. I'm like, you're not hurting your dad. Your dad is dead. You're the one being tormented. That's what happens when you let this demon in. It comes alongside you at first like it's your friend. Oh, I care about you. Look at, they shouldn't treat you like that. And they highlight the thing. And then you embrace it. And when you do, it turns on you. And you're the one who's cursed. You're the one who's isolated. And so what we want to do is we want to, if you're in the pattern of, man, I've always responded to offense the wrong way, I have good news. You can repent and start a new way. The blood of Jesus can cancel all the negative effects of years of bitterness. The blood of Jesus has the ability to uproot the most expansive root systems of bitterness in the heart. He can pull it up in a moment. If you'll repent, and then you start learning a new way. Amen? All right. I want to do a scripture here again. Ephesians chapter 4. This is actually a major theme in the Bible. There's so many verses on it. Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. Paul's writing to the church, and he says, and don't sin. How? Do you know that it's a sin to let anger control you? Then he says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For anger, what does it do? Yeah. That demon's crouching at the door wanting to pounce. And when you embrace that anger and that offense, you open the door and he comes in with a vengeance. You with me? That's why he's like, don't deal with your anger quickly. Don't even let the sun go down while you're still angry. You know, the point of that is this. It's like, don't wait, don't put it off. He's saying the same thing Jesus said in another word. It's like if your adversary is against you on the way to court, settle the issue now. Don't let the consequences carry out to the full term because you'll end up in prison. Right? Jesus said that in Matthew 5. Paul's saying the same thing. Deal with it quickly. Don't put it off. Deal with it thoroughly and quickly. I have good news. Do you know that you can deal with anger even while you feel the rage of the emotion burning in your heart? You can still deal with it and be victorious. See, sometimes we think, I no matter what I do, even if I say, God, help me, I still feel the burning anger and rage inside of me. It's like, it's not working. It is working. I'll tell you how to deal with anger, but just by not acting on it, and warring against it in prayer until you get victory over it. That's how victory begins. Then he says this, anger gives the devil a foothold to the devil. Verse 29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do you see the connection? I mean, it starts with this anger, and then he's like, just if it's not wholesome, if it's not helpful for building somebody up, just don't say it. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Again, my illustration, that's not only when I speak harsh words to Chad. If I'm talking to another person about him, I want whatever I say about Chad, I want it to benefit Augie. I want him to love Chad more after hearing me talk about Chad, not be like, you know, I never thought about Chad that way before, but that is true. I've had that done to me. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Somebody comes and they just start slandering somebody to me. And I'm just like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't put the poison in my soul. I'll help you get it out. But if you don't want to get it out, keep it. I'm not taking it. If it's not helpful for building them up, if it's not going to benefit me who's listening, don't tell me, right? That's what he's talking about here. Verse 30, here it is. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Next, verse 31. Get rid of all what? Rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Do you see? They're all buddies. Really? These are like the five demon buddies, if there is such a thing. They go together. If you yield to bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander are coming soon. You can't just be like, well, I would never murder. I would never do a harsh action against somebody. I would never speak harsh words. I would never just give in to fits of rage. If you entertain bitterness, those things will show up. And you open the door to them. And it's easier. How many of you know it's easier to stop it when it's just the initial thought than it is when you're in the full-blown action? Okay. Then it says in verse 32, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Okay, let me tell you how to repent of bitterness and slander. I'm going to give you three things, three steps. First, you pray to God and get your attitude rightly aligned with Him. Now again, there are times when I just feel the emotion. I've not sinned because I feel that energized evil emotion. That's a demon that's energizing that, trying to get me to sin. I'm warring against it. Are you guys with me? And so I pray until my heart and my mind is aligned with Jesus. God loves that person. Here's the thing. But what if they really are bad? What if they've really actually done something that's horrible and wrong and sin? Do you know Jesus has full knowledge of our sins? And yet it says He loves us. While we were still sinners, God demonstrated His love toward us in this. Jesus died on a cross for us. You guys with me? He didn't do that being like afterward, like, oh man, I'm glad that was over. And everybody's like, man, I can't, that was the most awesome act of love ever. You died on the cross for those people. And they did this and they said this and they spoke all this against you. And He's like, what? They really? Oh, I thought they were decent people. I wouldn't have done it if I would have known that they were that bad. That's not what happened at all. He had full knowledge of the complete depth of our depravity. And even then, He's like, I love them. I'm going to give them a gift of mercy they don't deserve to release grace to them to set them free from that sinful nature. And so we want to act in that same spirit. When somebody sins against you, it's like, wait a minute, God, how do you feel about this person? You love them. You care about them. I can react by throwing venom back and escalate their poison. Or I can reject their poison and throw mercy back and give them a life preserver to rescue them out of that deep sea of bitterness. I'm so thankful for people in my life, my wife and my kids, you know, the chief ones, you know, because they see me all the time and they're with me all the time. And I'm a good dad, by the way. I'm telling bad examples today. I do love my wife and I'm a good husband. But I'm telling these stories on purpose because I think in our homes is the primary place where these things are worked out, in our families. And I'm so thankful to them. There's been so many times when I acted out of a wrong spirit. And my wife or my daughter or my son would actually respond back with this merciful, gracious attitude that I knew I didn't deserve. And you know what it did? It melted my heart and softened me so that I could see what I was doing and repent of it. It gave me the strength I needed to overcome this thing. Here's how to get your attitude aligned with the Lord. This is number one, how to repent of bitterness. Three R's. You ready? Say repent, renounce, receive. So you repent of the sin of embracing that wrong thought and entertaining it. You take responsibility for your sin. Then you renounce the spirit that was behind it and command it to leave you. And then you receive the healing of God and his heart and his love for that person. And then you're aligned right again, just like that. So it looks like this. Father, I repent. I repent, Father, of entertaining this wrong, this bitter accusation, this offense toward so-and-so. I renounce the evil spirit that's behind that wrong thought, and I command it to leave me, and I forbid it from energizing those thoughts in me or those emotions any further. And I receive your heart, and I receive your forgiveness. I receive your cleansing over all my spirit, soul, and body, and I receive your heart for this person in Jesus' name. You guys with me? And you just, those three things right there, man, remember that. If you only remember one thing, I don't know what I'd tell you. This one's good too, though. Repent, renounce, receive. That's a biggie. Number two, after you pray and get your attitude aligned with the Lord, then you identify the specific things you said that was wrong and think of true and honoring words you can say to heal the wound. Because here's the problem. When you're just harboring it as a thought, you're the only one that's wounded. But once you speak it to other people, now you've hurt other people. That's why it's so much easier to deal with, man. When you've just sinned in your heart and you can just keep from saying it, it's so much easier to clean up your mess. You just go to the Lord, you do repent, renounce, receive, done. Okay, we're good, and go on with life, right? But if you've spoken it to somebody, you get your heart clean first, but then you got to go to the people that you passed on the snake bite to, and you've got to clean up your mess. So if you've gossiped to someone or slandered to someone, you go to them and say, I was wrong. And then you say, and if you can think of the specific words you said that created a wound in them, and then say, before you go, say, Holy Spirit, what are the words I said that really cut? And then, Lord, give me words that are true, that are honoring, that could help, that I could speak to them to help heal the wound I created. You know, it's like if you go and punch somebody and knock them down and break their arm, you're going to go to them and not only say, I'm sorry, but you're going to nurse them and care for them until they're healed. You take responsibility for your actions. You guys with me? And so you, the words are the same way. And so then you go to the person and you say, you know what? This is number three. Go to the person you spoke the harsh words to and you humble yourself. I mean, that's a big phrase that you have to do. Humble yourself. And you say, you confess your sin and say it, that it's sin. Making no excuses to justify yourself whatsoever. Humble yourself, confess your sin, ask for their forgiveness, and speak words of life to help heal the wound that you've created. So if I speak something harsh to Malachi, I get my heart aligned right, and I say, Malachi, a little while ago, I'm just going to make this up. You know, I yelled at you and I raised my voice towards you. And you know what? I was wrong to raise my voice towards you. It was really wrong. You don't deserve that. Will you please forgive me? I don't want to do that anymore. I was wrong. I yielded to a wrong spirit and I'm repenting and I'm asking you to forgive me too. And then is there anything I could do to help heal the wound that I created? To help heal your heart? So you can forgive me and feel love toward me again. You guys with me? I don't make excuses. I don't justify it. I deal with my sin. You guys with me? I'm not asking him to apologize for the part he did. Not at all. I'm not even bringing that up right now. I'm just taking care of my part. But you know what I found? I see this over and over again in our family. Because we do this in our family. This is a major core value in my family. I lead and model in this. I go to my kids a lot and I humble myself and I repent and apologize. I do not believe in, I'm the head of the household, I'm the dad, so, you know, sometimes I do stuff, but I'll lose respect if I go and apologize. Like, forget that. That's dumb. No, what I do is I model what the lifestyle that I call them to do. So they know, well, this is what you do when you mess up. Because then they're going to mess up, and when they do, they know how to fix it because I showed them. You guys with me? And they learn how to forgive, and they learn this is how healthy families function. This is how healthy relationships continue long-term and go deep. Because we do lots of forgiving and lots of humbling ourselves and asking forgiveness, and we grow in love that way. And speak words of life that can heal the wound. So, and I encourage you this, even when you speak not to a person, but you slander about somebody, you know, if I talked bad about Chad to Augie, I go to Augie and say, listen, I spoke bad about Chad. I said this and this and this. And I was wrong to say that. Will you forgive me? The truth is, Chad is awesome, this, awesome, this, awesome, this. And I release words of life. And I even say, I was wrong. I sinned. Please forgive me for any bad thoughts I passed on to you. Can I pray with you? Don't share those with other people. Just get them out of your system, you know. And I want to help them overcome the stumbling block I put in front of them. Do you know, I want to say this too. This includes not only people that we know, but when we talk slander and gossip, people that we don't know, like celebrities, presidents, politicians, Hollywood actors, activists of things that we don't like. I've done it before where I've spoken bad about a political leader, which is, unfortunately, it's so common in the church. It's a sin in the church that's so common that I think hinders our authority to be able to actually make a difference in the situation, in the spirit. God's helping us overcome that. But I've had times where I've done that. I've slandered a political leader or somebody talking to another believer, and I've been convicted, and I had to go to that person. I'm not going to go to that. I don't even know this person, this political leader. But I'll go to the person I talked to and says, you know what? I just said this, this, and this about whoever that leader was. And you know what? I was wrong. I was absolutely complaining. I was speaking in a wrong spirit. That wasn't helpful to the situation. It probably wasn't helpful to you, stirring up wrong emotions and offense in you toward the government. And you know what? Will you forgive me? I am so sorry I was wrong. Sometimes it's hard to do because usually they've joyfully been participating back and forth in that conversation. And when you go and say, I was wrong, it makes implies, so were you. And I don't say the so were you part, but I don't worry about the implication. I'm dealing with my sin. And if they start feeling convicted, that's good. You're welcome. It's part of me helping you heal your wound. Do you know that at the judgment, Jesus says, we will give an account for every idle word you spoke. Listen, and the way that it affected people. I want you to think about the effects that words have on people. You know, how many, Jesus warned, he's like, you know, it's inevitable things that cause people to sin are going to be in the world. But woe to the one through whom they come. I don't want to be the one to stand before Jesus. And he says, Jeff, I want you to give account for this person in your church. You were talking, you were slandering this person, and they took the snake bite. They didn't deal with it right. And this is all the devastating consequences that happened in their life. My plan was for them to have an awesome marriage. They ended up getting divorced because they didn't know how to deal with stuff. My plan was for them to have healthy family, healthy kids. It didn't happen because they bought the offense and it kept growing and growing in them. And you helped throw fuel on that demonic fire that was raging in their soul instead of water on it to help put it out. You have blood on your hands. You guys, I could go on and on, but it's real. And this is why the words thing, I feel the fear of God over my words. And when I hear people freely slandering and stuff, I'm like, do you have any fear? God, do you understand the consequences? Like, this is so bad for you. This is so bad for you. Please, I'm pleading with you for your own sake. This is going to be awful. Don't do this. Don't do this to yourself. You will regret every single word that was spoken out of a wrong spirit. Every single time, 100% of the words you speak out of a wrong spirit, out of anger and rage and offense, every time you speak out of that, you're going to deeply regret it. So don't, just be silent. And say, God, would you help me? You know, I think it was David says, he was pleading with God. He's like, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Because he knows they're connected. He says, any offense I entertain in my heart is going to come out of my mouth and I'm going to regret it. So would you help me to guard my heart and my thought life and then guard my speech? That I'd only speak what is wholesome and edifying. Amen. Jesus said, I'm wrapping up. Matthew 6. He's teaching us to pray. And he says, this is how you should pray. And in the prayer, I'm picking up in the middle of the prayer, he says, and forgive us our sins. Listen to this phrase. As we have forgiven those who sin against us. Let me ask you a question. Would you like God to forgive you exactly the way that you've forgiven every other person? Because that's the way it is. And then he says this. Listen to this now. And don't let us yield to temptation. Rescue us from the evil one. It's that humble heart, because we all deal with this, guys. And so it's like, God, would you help me to quickly forgive the way I want to be forgiven? God, protect me when I'm tempted. Rescue me from the evil one when he's tempting me with bitter thoughts to say bad words out of a wrong spirit. God, rescue me from the evil one. Deliver me from temptation. Then he says this, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's literal. That is literal. You know, I just think this. I'm like, nothing anybody's ever done to me is worth me going to hell over. No matter how bad it was, if I just respond rightly, eventually the pain will all go away. It will be healed up. And I'll live in eternity in bliss with God forever and ever and ever. And it's going to be great. But if I respond wrong, the consequences could be horrible. You know, I have there's a man, is a friend of mine, I know him, and we had a retreat years ago, and he had a brace on his arm because he had like some kind of, it was like a carpal tunnel issue or some problem with his wrist, his arm, that was so severe he had to have like a brace on his arm. He was wearing the brace on his arm, and the person who was preaching talked about forgiving, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He's like, I need to forgive my dad because he had held some things against his dad from a long time ago. And so he goes up and he's praying and he repent, renounce, receive. He's like, God, I repent for embracing this offense toward my dad. I forgive him now in the name of Jesus and I let it go to you. I renounce the spirit that was behind this offense. I command it to leave me. I receive forgiveness and healing from this wound in Jesus' name. Do you know what happened? All of a sudden, he's praying to forgive his dad, and all of a sudden, he feels his arm just go pop. He's like, what in the world? He takes off the brace, and his arm is completely 100% healed. And he didn't even pray about that. Because here's what happened. His bitterness toward his dad had opened a door for the devil to afflict him with physical injury. And as soon as he repented of the sin and forgave his dad, the effects of the sin was healed at the same time. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus, you could have done this wrong for decades. If you'll repent instantly, I mean not like in a few months, instantly the blood of Jesus, the power of the Spirit can wash you clean and set you free from the effects of that sin in your life. And you'll see the healing start playing out as you continue walking in the light. Amen. So here's what I want to ask you. It's a response time. I'm going to allow a few minutes for this because I want you to actually pray right now and think this through with the Lord. I have two questions on your sheet that I want you to answer and write down. Number one, who have you been entertaining thoughts of offense toward? You know, hide your paper so your person next to you doesn't see it, but write it down. Write down names that God brings to your mind. Who have you been entertaining thoughts of offense toward? I'm not talking about like the devil brings them up to you and you're like, I resist that. No, I bless them in Jesus' name. I'm talking about you've bought in and you've entertained those thoughts. And then number two, who have you spoken harsh words of slander and accusation to? Either that person or somebody else about that person. Who have you actually spoken those wrong words to out of that wrong spirit? So I want you to answer those two questions. I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that, and then we're going to pray. So if you've just been, question number one, if it's like you can think of people you've been entertaining those thoughts toward, do repent, renounce, receive, like right now. You can do it right now. It just takes a few seconds. Got to repent of embracing and entertaining this offense toward them. I renounce the spirit behind that and command it to go. And I receive forgiveness and I receive your heart and cleansing and healing in Jesus' name and your heart for that person. And then if you had people on number two that you've spoken to, write down your plan when you're going to go talk to them and clean up the mess. You know what I found by practicing that one over the years? That's a pain. I'm like, ugh, I do not want to have to go back. It's a pain to do that. It's so humbling to do that. But you know what ends up happening? Next time I'm tempted to speak out, I'm like, I know I'm going to get convicted later. Eventually, my heart's going to soften, and I'm going to have to come do that one conversation. I hate doing that. It's not worth it. I ain't saying nothing. Seriously, that's exactly what happens. It's like your little kids, you know, when they keep making messes. You're like, okay, go ahead and clean your mess. And they're like, oh, it's such a pain to clean this up. It's like, yeah, that's why I told you not to do it, because you think I'm going to clean it. You make them clean it. Then they clean it up, and they're like, next time they're tempted, they're like, it wasn't worth it. I ain't doing it this time. So make your plan. If you spoke harsh words, when will you go? I'd say today. Do it today or as soon as possible. Act quickly. Remember, the quicker you want to clean it up, not only in yourself, but you want to get the antidote for the anti-venom, share it with the person that you gave them the venom to as quickly as possible and help them out. Amen. I'm just going to give you like another 30 seconds. Okay, why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray together. Now, guys, here's the deal. I don't go, you know, when God gives us a dream and says, hey, the devil's going to try and attack your family or attack the church with offense and slander. I don't go, oh, are you kidding me? How could that happen? We're a Christian family. That should never happen. I'm like, yeah, of course. I mean, thanks for the heads up, Jesus. It doesn't surprise me at all. This is always what the devil tries to do. You guys with me? It's not like, oh, you know, we're so immature because he's going to try and attack us. No, we deal with it. It just depends on how we deal with it. You guys with me? And this is just part of living in this world. And so I want to pray with you as an individual right now, and then just for cleansing of this. But then I'm going to pray over the church and all the families represented in the church, and for protection from this attack. And I want you to agree with me. Does that sound good? So first, let's pray together. Say, Jesus, I repent for entertaining this offense. I renounce the spirit that's behind it. I renounce the accusation. I renounce the negative emotions. And I command them to leave me. I bless this person, that the grace of God would work in them. Help them to love you. Help them to honor you, so that they would be blessed for eternity. I receive forgiveness and healing in Jesus' name from all of the effects of this sin. And I receive your heart for this person. Let me see what you see and feel what you feel about this person. Help me to love them like you do. Now, Father, I just declare over everyone here, I declare breakthrough. Father, let grace be released right now in Jesus' name to help us really overcome this and live in victory over this offense, and to be cleansed thoroughly of all the residue of bitterness and its effects in our lives and in the relationships we have with other people. Father, anoint us, every single person here, to be able, those of us who need to go to somebody and clean up a mess, anoint us with the spirit of a peacemaker and reconciliation, that when we go, you, the spirit of grace, goes with us. And when we speak out of humility, Father, that their hearts are softened and the poison is evaporated out of them and between us, and life and healing is released, and love and joy goes to a higher level than it ever has before between us. Father, I release grace right now over James River Church. I release grace over every person and family represented in this church. In the name of Jesus, God, protect us from the evil one. Do not let us yield to temptation, Father. Protect us from offense. Protect us from slander, Father. We just right now, we take authority over those demons and we cast them out in Jesus' name. We bind their activity. We bind that activity in our families, in this church, in the name of Jesus. And we loose the grace of God that brings reconciliation, that releases love, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We declare that over our homes and our family and our church in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the season of breakthrough and the season of increase and the season of promises fulfilled that we're living in this very moment. And we thank you that you'll have your way and no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, good job, guys. I bless you. Have a wonderful day. At 6 o'clock, I'll be back here teaching on the Book of Revelation series. So